it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That kind of thing. I'm talking about that kind of thing. I'm not done yet.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Let's roll, baby. Let's roll like a big wheel. Roll like a big wheel. Big wheel. We are jacked up today. I have no idea why. Jacking it.
Did you just say you're jacked? You jacked off today?
No, I said I'm jacked up.
Oh,
off? What are you insane?
I was like over there. I
heard my granddaughter's in the room.
She's not. I heard just from a distance. I heard it sound like.
No, please. Homie, don't play that.
And then I thought I heard jacking it.
Oh, I did say that. I mean, you know, but that doesn't apply anything. All right. So we're going to be joined by Johnny Depp and Amber Heard on the podcast today. They agreed to be on under the proviso that we would not talk at all about the trial or their past discord. What we're going to do is ask them both about what they see as the Heat's chances for a NBA championship.
No, they'll be joining us. Dad, I said Ronnie Depp is joining us.
Ah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, I misunderstood. Who's Ronnie Depp?
Okay. Right. Funny bit. Okay. That'd be a good job if we got them.
It would. You know what? That'd be a nice get.
That'd be a good get.
That'd be a nice get right now. Your mother is riveted to that trial. I am not, so I'm speaking out of ignorance. I don't even want to. Everybody seems to be on Depp's side. I don't want to take sides because I haven't followed the trial. So
I'm not really that into it. I see clips that it looks like Johnny Depp's like performing a role.
Yeah. I saw a headline the other day that really disturbed me. And by the other day, I mean, just now I saw it. And it made me shake my head sadly. SMHS. The headline was a family of YouTubers faces backlash after running a marathon with their 6-year-old.
Hmm.
This was in the Cincinnati area. I don't want to name the YouTube family because they would love that. That's what they're in it for, is the publicity. But, you know, afterward, the backlash is that everybody, including people who run marathons, are like, a 6-year-old should not be doing that. And the people who run the marathon said, yeah, it's probably not the best idea because their rules are 18 and older, and they made an exception for this YouTube family. And long story short, the poor kid, first grader, presumably, finished the marathon in 8 hours and 35 minutes along with his parents.
And what's an average time?
I mean, super marathoners run, you know, 2.5-3 hours. An average
like first time marathoner. That doesn't compete but can do it.
He might go 4 hours and something. So if you take 8 hours and 35 minutes to run a marathon, something's happening there. And the poor 6-year-old kid, I just don't know what people are thinking. I feel like I complain too much in general. So I hate to be the one to come out against these people. But it's just terrible that people who are in it for the YouTube follows and the Instagram attention. And it's the whole TikTok phenomenon where you're doing things that are ridiculous just to get attention for yourself. And
right. Are you saying because it's so rigorous on the body? Like, what's the difference between that and Tiger Woods' dad, who like is making him putt 1,000 putts a week at the age of 5?
Yeah, I mean, there may not be a huge difference except for the physical nature of it. And some of the I read some.
What if this kid goes on? What if this kid goes on to be the best marathon runner ever? And he's like some phenom. And he like by the time he's 10, he's running it in 4 hours. And then, yeah, you know,
And what if he goes on to be a heroin addict? I mean, there's no sense saying what this could mean for him. But some of the people who run marathons and know this subject matter a lot better than me basically say that, including physiologists and the medical community, say that at 6 years old, you don't know what how to process pain. You don't know when to stop. You don't know how to stop. And so yeah,
that's true.
You're just not qualified to run.
I mean, I have a four-year-old and I get that. Like, I can understand those points.
Right. I mean, they will run themselves to exhaustion.
This is on the marathon too, though. If you have these standards, it's 18 and over for a reason. And these are health reasons. Like, we shouldn't be making exceptions for clicks. That's what this is all about. The same thing with, like, you know, newspapers nowadays and nowadays. Online articles. And, you know, everyone wants clicks, downloads, podcasts, articles. Like, Netflix needs people to watch their stuff. They need their clicks. Everyone wants clicks.
That's exactly right. If I wanted clicks, I would claim that I'm having, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard on my podcast, but that would be ridiculous.
I think we can at least say Ronnie Depp is joining us.
Okay.
I feel safe misleading people and saying we can at least put that in the description.
Sure. And Amber Heard, but spelled H-U-R-D. You know, we just found two lookalike names. We have, by the way, I always say this. I'm guilty of always saying
just
we
skip it then. Then don't say it this time. Moving on. What's your next topic?
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that. And
now I kind of want to know what you were gonna say.
I don't have my glasses right now, so I'm.
Yeah, what you got? You look really old right now, looking down at your paper. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I have notes jotted down, but I can't even read my writing.
Your handwriting is epically bad, by the way.
Yeah,
and the thing is like you have the capability of writing neatly. You just always choose to do that chicken scratch.
Well, over the years, as a journalist, I've developed my own shorthand, which I generally am able to read. I've never been accused of misquoting anyone in my entire career, so we're good on that.
I don't think anybody, like, do journalists, like, is Anthony Chang covering the Heat? Is he writing stuff down in, like, long, like, whatever that, like... No. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm
like,
one
that
of
is
the few.
You are such so old. Like,
I know.
Just record a damn interview. Yeah, use your damn note voice memo. Like, what are you doing?
Okay, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Then you have to transcribe it. Okay, if you're going off a recording, you got to spend another 15 minutes listening to what you just heard. Whereas if you take notes, it's right there. You don't have to listen to your notes, they're right in front of you.
Wow.
But
look at that.
Yeah. But to your point, that's when you know you're a dinosaur in journalism. So I was at the Panthers post game. I'm in a crowded interview room and I'm looking around and it's basically just me writing down notes. I mean, other people have their laptop in front of them. They're taking notes on their laptop. You know, they're voice memoing. And I'm the one with a little yellow legal pad and a pen. Jotting down longhand. It's sad, but yeah, that's what I do. And I was a top 10 columnist this past year, so I guess I'm doing something right.
Are there comments made?
Oh yeah, sometimes.
Who gives you shit about it?
You know, anybody who sees me. I mean, I'm not literally the only one who.
I bet Barry Jackson writes down.
No, but Dave Hyde, I think, was next to me taking a few notes.
Dave, I love done. You and Dave Hyde, just an old school, like it's in the 40s, flipping a page.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Oh, I got a good quote. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I buy legal pads. I know this is audio, so I'm showing them only to you. But I buy this 5-pack of miniature yellow legal pads for $4.49. They're about 85 cents each. And I go through dozens of them a year. I mean, that's how much I take notes. So... Yeah, I mean it's old school, but what can I tell you? Speaking of the Panthers game, the Panthers do this thing with this one kid. They keep going back to him on the screen, probably 5, 7, 10 times a game. It's like a regular thing. They show this same kid, and he's cheering, and he's doing the muscle moves, and the fans just love him.
Yeah, we go wild.
Oh my God!
See, this is. This kid has been, they've been doing it with him all year, and it was a very organic thing. Like, they didn't like pay this kid to do this. It was just a kid that got shown on the Jumbotron, and he stood up and he started flexing, and the crowd goes crazy. So what they did in the playoffs is they like produced a video. They went to his house. They videotaped him, like they videotaped him getting out of bed doing curls with the rat. And it was just a whole thing. And then him walking into the stadium in slow motion and then him going crazy. You know, it's just such a cool thing. And the crowd goes crazy every time. And it honestly, if there is a downside to this kid, it hurts all the other kids because the crowd only loves this kid. So now all the other kids are like trying to flex and the crowd's like, nope, you're not him. So like it ends up hurting other kids. That's the only downside. The kid is great. And he does kind of go to the same moves. He needs to like, you know, if he needs to be coached on different moves, but what's up, baby? You pooped and you peed.
Wow. Good for you, Graceland.
Parenting.
Pooping it.
All right. I got to deal with this.
Yeti, I'm not against this kid being a huge Panthers fan. What I'm sort of against is the idea that sports is not enough anymore. The games are not enough. When you go to a stadium or an arena,
they're trying to entertain you. Yeah.
There's all these bells. Yeah, but the game is the entertainment.
You love a bell and whistle. People are here to listen to a podcast, but who loves bells and whistles? Greg Cody does. And we go there to watch a game and they want to put bells and whistles. There's people's jobs that are just to think of shit that they can do that'll get the crowd going.
Yeah.
And if all year you have one kid who got the crowd going, then that's
okay.
It.
Wait a minute. Time out. You have the best team in hockey, the most exciting team in hockey.
Chris,
no one cleans a diaper faster than I do. Okay.
I was gonna say, are you just letting your daughter sit in her poop?
All right, I'm gonna go clean this. I just heard my dad rambling. All right.
Okay. I have to respond to that. Okay. You have the best team in hockey with the best record. The most exciting team in hockey, the team that just scored the most goals in 26 years in the NHL. But you need a kid flexing his muscles to entertain the crowd? I don't get that. And it's not just the Panthers. This thought first occurred to me during the Big Three era of the Heat. Okay. You have the most exciting team in the NBA. You have Dwayne Wade joined by LeBron James in his prime and Chris Bosh. They're winning two championships in 4 years, reaching four finals in a row. And still, the game is a carnival. It's not just the basketball. That's not enough, apparently. You have the golden oldies dancing. You have, you know, kids jumping off trampolines to dunk the ball during intermission. It's just too much. The game should be enough, particularly when you have a great team.
I don't know, the halftime entertainment thing has been going on since I was a little kid. So, I mean, it's probably been going on a really, really long time, Greg. You just don't pay enough attention at sporting events to care.
Well.
Was that too harsh?
No, not at all.
I'm serious. Like, they've got to do something. I understand it definitely in between innings, in between timeouts. And maybe that's the problem. There are more timeouts now than there used to be growing up. You know, you do have, or it would at least seem that there are more timeouts. I don't have the hard data, but I'm pretty sure there are more timeouts. If nothing, there's reviews going on and they have to keep the fans from rioting in the middle of a review. So what do? Let a kid flex his muscles. You know, let's get someone on a unicycle to do incredible things. You know, like get Red Panda, like let's do really cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's have a Bon Jovi impersonator. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now.
This is just such a bold, weird take from you, Dad. Like anti-fun. Like, I mean, I like it. Like, I've always told you should, at this point in your career, just start writing and saying like outlandish things. So like, we can get clicks. Like we talked about earlier, it's a click world. Now we can now put in the promo for this. Greg Cody crushes that little kid that the Panthers, the Panthers fans love.
Yeah. Like, if I was his parents, I'd run him in a marathon. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm just against the whole idea that the game is no longer enough. The sport is no longer enough. And it's one thing to have a marching band at halftime, like they used to do back in the day. I get that because at halftime, if you're not going to the concession stand,
you're so old. So all your
urinal,
Greg's the guy. No. I'm going to interrupt here. You're the guy who wants the Harlem Globetrotters to only play basketball. You don't want them to do the little confetti bucket trick where they throw it like they make you think they're throwing a bucket of water and it turns out to be confetti. You know, you want them just stick to the game and play basketball. Is that right, Greg? Is this what you're like in bed?
Okay. Well, no. Obviously, that's apples and oranges because the Globetrotters are there for one reason, which is to be goofballs to whom the game itself is secondary. But when you have a professional team on the court or the field, let alone the best one in hockey, the game should be enough. You don't. Every break doesn't need to be filled in with some sort of ridiculous entertainment.
Dad, it's trying to pump up the crowd. Like, that kid in particular, like, that is not just some stupid, useless entertainment. That's not the shell game, which I love and I never get wrong. Like, right. This is like, hey, this is a big moment. What has gotten the biggest reaction? They're only doing it because the kid crushes every time.
Okay.
I would get it if the crowd at this point was over him. But this is a bolt. Like, everybody is like, it just, the crowd goes wild every time. Why wouldn't you keep showing this kid?
Okay.
I hope someone's talking to that kid and letting him know that one day the crowd's going to turn on you and it's not going to be pretty. So ride this while you can, but prepare yourself, because one day they're either going to turn on you or become indifferent. You be the judge of which is worse.
I'd rather you criticize that 42-year-old guy that is like in a Panthers Superman outfit.
It's all ridiculous.
There's literally a guy that's like my age or older, and he right. goes to every game. He wears tights. He wears a cape. Yeah. And it's like got the Panthers logo right there. He's like Panther Man. And
yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's the guy. Like, let the little kid have like the shine here. Why are you? That's the guy we should be ripping. Like, I can't believe we spent 10 minutes talking about this kid in a negative way. And I love Yeti's point.
Ridiculous.
I love Yeti's point about that. Just your takes the last 5 minutes are painting a, like, you must be very boring in bed.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Like, you're just, you hate anything that, you hate anything extra. You don't like anything like exciting and fun and wacky. Like, it's just like, I'd like to just come and open my newspaper and
phrasing,
watch the game. Thank you.
Okay, I don't want to continue this in bed analogy, because I was just about to say something that would be totally edited out. So, any of those bells and whistles are ridiculous. Whether it's a little kid or a 45-year-old guy in tights, it's all superfluous. It's all unnecessary.
Right.
Let us enjoy the game.
All right. That's why it's missionary is all you really need. You don't need anything else. Why am I talking about this with my dad?
I really wish you wouldn't. I mean,
it's because Mother's Day's here.
Hey,
and happy Mother's Day, by the way. But don't get me started on holidays. I mean, I don't even want to.
Seriously, I hope you're doing this spiel, dude. He's out on holidays. This guy is so old now.
Like, all together.
Yeah, go ahead, Dad. Do okay. it.
Except for Greg Cody Day at the
at the Fort Myers. Yeah, that was a. You talk about a holiday. I mean, please, but holidays. I got to catch my breath on this topic.
Yeah, hold on. Catch your breath. Just pick
There's
up on
so holidays. Many holidays that it's become a plague on America and the world, really. I mean, it's not just America, but okay. It's one thing, you have a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. That's fine. Then you got a Grandparents' Day. Then you got a Cousins' Day.
There's Grandparents' Day? There's not Cousins. What are you talking about? Oh, now yeah. You're just making it holidays.
There's Grandparents' Day.
Dad, we're not doing this thing. Like, don't start doing the thing where, like, and then there's Philly Cheesesteak Day. Then there's Hamburger Day.
No, I'm talking about the real holidays.
In Finland, they have a name day. Everyone with a certain name that has a day of the right. year, that's their day. That's their name day. And you get to, you know, they'll celebrate it. Yeah.
Name day.
Yeah.
So like Chris's. Today, all Chris's can celebrate. Ooh, yeah. Name day.
Yeah, yeah. Celebrate your day, Chris. Celebrate your day, Greg.
I like name day. See, Dad, what's going on with you?
When is Greg Day?
I'll have to look that up. I don't know if Greg translates to Finnish too much, but I'll ask our friends and find out.
No, too many holidays. I think it's because, look, my anniversary is in January, so it's Christmas, then it's my anniversary, then it's Valentine's Day, then it's Mother's Day. It just seems like it's a continuous array of holidays, and it's just, it's too much. You know,
it drains the wallet. I will say I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and go on the unpopular opinion on this podcast of being pro holidays. That's what
okay.
I'm going
to do. Here's the thing. Holidays are a product of florists and Hallmark cards. Those are the only two people who love all these holidays. And the only holidays that should exist. And when I say Christmas, I mean Hanukkah, you know, I mean anything, the equivalent of Christmas, depending on your faith.
Actual holy days.
Yeah. Holy days. Christmas right. and Thanksgiving. Other than that, they're all superfluous. Birthdays.
Grocery stores like holidays.
Well, of course they do. Because, you know, they know that on St. Patrick's Day, they're going to sell this. Holidays are superfluous. That's all. You don't need You have a birthday every year. Why do you have to make a special occasion out of it? You know, hey, happy birthday. But why does it have to be like a cake and this? I just don't understand it. I love the military. I respect the military. but you don't need a holiday for Veterans Day.
All right,
you
maybe just tell all right, somebody Dad, who. All right, we got the point. We got the point.
Memorial Day, you tell a serviceman, "Hey, thank you for your service," but you don't take a day off and throw sparklers and you have to shut me up now because I'm complaining.
Now you're ranting against long weekends now.
Yeah, I am. There are just too many holidays, that's all. And I'm not trying to single anybody out.
If it gets me out of work, I'm a proponent.
Okay.
There we go.
I mean, the 4th of July is supposed to celebrate our independence. And what it is it's just a drinking, barbecuing holiday. You know, we forget what it's even about. So,
to someone like Greg, that's just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I drink every day like it's Memorial Day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is exciting. We have a special correspondent, Jessica Smetana, who was at the Miami Grand Prix, the Formula One Miami Grand Prix, the inaugural race. Super exciting. They were calling it down here the Super Bowl of auto racing. And we
hard to get a credential.
It was very hard to get a credential, but the Greg Cody Show was able to get a credential for Jessica. And and we sent her there as our correspondent.
Wait, we got her that credential?
Yeah, well, yeah, we had to pull some strings. I mean, I had to make a couple of calls, and I'm throwing around a couple of Greg Cody Show decals, a brand new T-shirt, and that works magic, quite frankly.
From the GregCodyShow.com?
Yeah, and the Formula One people, they dig that. They dig it. And long story short, on our dime, Jessica is reporting live from what I imagine would be the noisy Miami Grand Prix.
This is Jessica Smetana from the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody, reporting live. Just after leaving the Miami Grand Prix this weekend that was in Miami Gardens, Florida. It was great for the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody to get me a credential to attend the race and cover it for this show. It was a very exciting race. Max Verstappen finished on top. He is now trying to claw back at Charles Leclerc's lead in the Drivers' Championship. It was just a really, really great weekend here in Miami. The weather was, I don't even know the correct word to describe how hot it was, but it was truly miserable to be outside this weekend. And everyone who attended the race had a great time from what it felt like. There was great energy. All the drivers enjoyed being in Miami. Many of them did complain about the track conditions. Apparently, the asphalt here in Miami, the local asphalt blend was causing some issues for tires, and so was the heat. But you know what? Everyone got through it. I was going to say everyone finished the race, but that's not true. My favorite, baby Lando Norris, did not finish the race. He had an incident towards the end of the race and retired his car, which was a big bummer. But Miami, Max Verstappen is your champion. Thanks again to Greg Cody from the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody for getting me the credential. This is Jessica Smetana from the Miami Grand Prix.
Jess, thanks so much for being our correspondent on the scene at the Miami Grand Prix. That's a huge event for Miami. They were calling it the Super Bowl of auto racing, which may be hyperbole, but
I was into it. I watched a good amount of the race. I'm not somebody, I have not watched Drive to Survive, so I have not you know, gotten bitten by the F1 bug yet. But watching it today, I can definitely get the appeal of it. Right. The way it's broadcast, because you think all these fast cars going quick, that it's hard to keep track. The way they show the standings, and you get to hear the talking between the drivers and the pit crew. So it's very like it's very well done, these broadcasts. So like it's a cool sport and it's broadcast well. So I get the popularity of it, and I definitely want to go next year. Apparently it's going to be down here in Miami once a year for 10 years. So I definitely will go next year. I definitely am interested in it.
Yeah, it's a spectacle. That's an international sport for sure. And Miami is so much an international city that
everybody turned out. Tom Brady was there. Michael Jordan.
Right.
Greg Cody. No,
Greg Cody was not there.
If you were, what would you do if you were invited by Tom Brady to like be in his like, you know, Rolex suite?
I'd hang. I'd give him a hang. You know.
And plus, everybody's out in their like cool Miami outfits. Like, it's such a vibe. Like, you can't just go there, you know, in basketball shorts, like, you know, in cargo shorts and you're, you know, that same tee that you wear to the studio every Tuesday. Like,
exactly. Which,
like,
is,
I just love the idea of you being thrown in that scene.
Right.
I mean, I'm not throwing stones. I don't have style either. Like, I would not know what to do if I was going to that thing.
I have to say, I saw a photo of Levitard and Mike Ryan with one of the Red Bull
Jones
drivers.
That was Aaron Jones, the running back for the Packers.
Oh, it was? He was dressed like a driver. What the hell's going on with him?
He was just dressed with fashion. That's like, did you see, what did you think of Dan's outfit?
I was about to make fun of it. I mean, he was not dressed up. He was not styling like Miami Beach, was he?
There he is.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Come on, Levitard.
I mean, Mike
looks like a referee. I mean, Mike's calling a holding penalty on somebody. I don't know what Dan is dressed like. He's got on basketball shorts.
See, you're t-shirt. Throwing stuff. See, I'm not like, I'm with you. Dan is not like, you know, he's not giving off Dwayne Wade with this outfit.
Right.
But I don't think I could do any better. Like, you couldn't do any better. So, like, I don't think we're in a position to judge him.
How could you not do better than wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt?
It's really not about, like, in Miami, you can get away with basketball shorts. It's just if you pull it off with style. Like, that's what I've learned. Style is really not about, like, you don't have to wear, like, you're thinking, it's an event. You got to wear dress pants or a button down. Like, right. You can be fashionable. Slacks. You can be fashionable with basketball shorts. It's just about being fashionable. That's the part that we don't get.
I don't think anybody is fashionable in basketball shorts, including Levitard. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you. It's possible.
Okay. But I was sort of hearing Jess's exclusive report for us that some of the drivers were complaining about the asphalt conditions. But it's just you have to give a break to a city that grows a racetrack from nothing in a matter of a couple of months.
Yeah,
it was a Herculean effort.
I'm sure I'm sure they'll make whatever changes they need to for next year. Like, sure it's a learning experience. Maybe next year they'll have actual water instead of, you know, a tarp that looks like water. Well, but I'm excited that it's going to be a yearly thing. I definitely want to check it out at some point.
No, it's a major event, especially because I don't know how many of our listeners know, but Miami hosted the Super Bowl of NASCAR for years. We hosted the finishing race that crowned the champion every year for like 15, 18 years in a row. And we lost that a couple of years ago. So it's nice for F1, Formula One, to step in and sort of fill that void, because we are an international city. There's no question about that. We support soccer, for example. Our ratings for World Cup soccer are among the highest in the nation, and F1 fits right in that.
We love a party line. Though let's before like more so than we're connoisseurs of great sports, we love a party. We like if it involves rich people and like, you know, Miami can and the clubs can make a week out of it, then, you know, it's right up our alley.
Oh, no doubt. And this is a party vibe. It was a wonderful weekend. I was not there, but I partook of it from a distance. And
you were too busy writing. You were too busy writing a column a day for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah, on the Heat and the Panthers. Wow, what a gruel that's been. What a grind.
Actually, before we get to anything else, Dad, let's get to this Cody Olympics event number 4. The darts were thrown. No spoilers here, but let's see if Greg can get off the schneid and finally get a victory in the father-son Olympics.
That kind of thing. The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody presents the Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Father versus son, old versus young, not athletic versus someone who, just a few years ago, turned out to be more athletic than any listener had previously imagined. 5 weeks, 10 events, a house divided. Who will reign victorious? The Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
All right, we've just started darts, and I already want to fight my dad. It turns out he has no idea how to play darts. He doesn't know how to keep score. I wish I had on video. And that's a seven. That's two misses for Greg. I wish I had video of my dad's first attempt throwing a dart.
0-for-3.
As a warm-up. I mean, it looked like he was throwing a baseball. And then I had to teach him the proper technique. I mean, what do you have to say for yourself?
None of these counts for a point, right?
No, you got no points.
All right, I was 0-for-3.
We're playing best of three. We're playing cricket, which I'm not going to explain the rules to people. Right. Either you know darts or you don't. But it's one of the most basic games in darts. I've played it before. And you, have you ever played darts before?
In bars and everything, but not to keep score, just for fun. It's a convoluted scoring system. It really is.
You're so annoying. You suggested darts.
Yeah, because I have a dartboard in my game room. It's simple. We're doing it right now. Let's do it till we're satisfied. I mean, quit complaining.
We're using these real metal darts.
They're great darts.
My dad's already put one in his wall. What's the over-under on holes you put in the wall? Because I'm going to go on the record and say I won't throw a single one at the wall.
I won't hit the wall.
Okay, so that one will be your last one?
That wasn't from today.
That was your warm-up throw. That was the first throw you threw.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, that'll be my last one on the wall.
Best of three. All right. You're going down.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to win.
Nothing. All right. We are midway through game one.
Yes.
Greg just got 17 there. All right. So your 17 is closed.
Great.
I am up. He's up in points, but I've closed out almost everything. It's Greg's found a little groove here. He's not as embarrassing as I thought it was going to be, but I'm still going to take you to the clinic. Do you take someone to the clinic? Why did I just say that?
Cleaners. Take someone to the cleaners.
Cleaners. Yeah. And then the clinic. I'll take you everywhere. The dentist, wherever you need to go.
I could probably use the clinic. No, we're good. I'm balling like a jack here.
That's just words. I'm winning. Okay. All right. Greg Cody made it close at the end. I will say that's probably our most competitive game that we've had in this entire Greg Cody, Chris Cody Olympics so far. I won pretty easily, but you did make a comeback, and you made it a little interesting.
I was pleased. I mean, once I found a rhythm for a while, and I was close, and I got all my numbers, but you were just picking up points like I wasn't, and he ended up beating me not quite 2-1, 419-223 in the first
round. You actually closed out, for people that know how to play cricket, darts, you closed out all your numbers before I did, but I just had a big points lead.
Yeah, you did, and you're a better player than me, but I do.
You throw your darts like a grenade.
I don't know.
You're like tossing them up in the air. Like, you know, most people throw darts like, that's why they call like a throw from the outfield a dart when it's straight.
Yeah.
You throw your darts have an arc to them.
I did notice that you throw your three darts quicker than me and harder. Like yours are really embedded in the dartboard, whereas mine, I have a softer arc.
Well, I look like someone who's played darts before.
I look like someone who's played darts before, but throws with a softer arc.
All right. Game two coming up right now. All right. So my dad went out and bought darts just for this, but he went a little cheapski. He went a little cheap, so we've now broken a dart, and we are midway through the second game, and we already, you know, aren't sure if we can keep playing because my dad is now rummaging through an old box looking for a dart. It's just, it's not a pretty sight here at the Cody household.
All right, no darts. We're going to have to use two darts.
No dice.
There you go. Let's just use two darts.
Okay.
Like the caveman did.
Like the cave, yeah. All right. Well, so I'm winning this game. I'm almost done closing it. You don't care. But just know I'm destroying my dad. We'll be back.
Here we go.
Now, as I'm dominating this second game once again and about to take a 4-0 lead in the Greg Cody, Chris Cody Olympics, you'd say to yourself, Chris, you've got to start at some point feeling bad for your dad and feeling pity upon him. But I just want to let the audience know that that has not happened yet. I still want to crush every event. There's no part of me that's like, oh, did I take it easy on him? Like, I don't know what's happening here in this, but that's my mindset. It's like, no mercy, 10-0. I want all the events.
Okay, you ain't gonna win all the events.
Why don't you do live play by play? Because I need a bullseye to win this.
All right,
to close this out.
Chris Cody will win 2-0 in a best of three if he gets a bullseye.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah. All right,
like I've told you. All right,
here we go.
Times.
Here we go.
That's the mic. Hold it to the
all
side.
Right. All right, all right. I got it. I'm not a child. All right, here we go. First of three shots, going for a B. No, almost. Yeah, I think.
Oh,
he just missed.
That's bullshit is what that is.
All right.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it. Oh. Denied!
I wish I could take a picture of how close all three of these
darts
were. Yeah,
but you know what they say about close, right?
Hand grenades and horseshoes?
That's right. All right, the big comeback right here.
It's horseshoes and hand grenades.
I need 16 and 18. Here we go.
Let's get a little darts ASMR here. You see how soft that was? You hear that noise of how soft those darts land on the board? I want you to contrast that with my darts next time. Here you go. Here's another Greg Cody toss.
Oh, God darn it. How close was that?
No points.
Jesus.
All right, now let's put the mic up near the board so they can hear.
17. Points on the board, but no bullseye. No needed bullseye. Nope. 17 points.
Rappy cack. I'm confident I'm going to end this one here. You narrate it. Let's hear your best Al Michaels above you.
We're narrating a lot of near misses here is what we're doing. No. Denied. No. Denied. Double threes. Three ain't going to cut it, kid. No, but a 20. Got a consolation 20 points there. I got a thing. Here you go. Daddy at the line needs an 18.
You need a lot. You need 18. You need bullseye. You need a lot of points.
Yes.
All right. One more.
All right. Now I'm going to start racking them. Racking points.
Nothing.
Got my 18.
All right. I'm telling you, it's happening this time.
Oh, God. This is ridiculous. 10 times in a row looking for a bullseye. No, denied. No, denied. 19. Give him 19 points as a consolation prize. Close, but no cigar.
19
and 18 is 37.
That'll do it, folks. Another one in the bag for the young kid.
Damn it.
I don't think this felt a little competitive, but not really ever really.
I mean, I played better than I thought I would. I will tell you that truthfully.
You picked, by the way, you chose this. You decided you didn't know the rules of chess. So you're right. Like, let's do darts.
Yep.
And you got your butt whooped.
It's true. I mean, see, that's the difference between you and me. You are unwilling to play Ms. Pac-Man, but I am willing to play events where I don't think I'm the favorite.
I'm willing to take. I was literally willing to play anything you wanted to play.
Except
I was
Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You admitted it.
I've admitted it the whole time. It's not like, I mean, not that this darts was riveting, but like I just like what. It's just stupid.
Yeah, stupid because you'd get your ass kicked. But back to reality, you were ahead 4-0. The scores in darts were 419 to 223. And 308 to 110. So you beat me 2-0 in a best of three in darts. You are now up 4-0.
I swept you in pool.
You
have
did.
You won anything? You've not like anything we've even, you've gotten swept in everything. You haven't even like gotten like to a final match in something of a series.
Well, of the four events, two of them were best of threes. The other two were not best of threes. So, yeah.
And you're yet to win anything.
I have yet to win anything. Except I did tie in golf on the match play, if you recall.
Mm.
No, I did. Correct or no?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You tied.
I tied. So I did not lose something. I didn't win anything, but I did not lose something. So
that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. But our next event, whether or not we play it now, because I'm sweating from playing darts, believe it or not, our next event is ping pong, but we don't know whether it's going to be in this event or not.
I'm glad you brought it up, since we might not do it.
That's right. We're whetting the appetite. Hey, that kind of thing.
We should just not do it. We should just do it every episode. We should tease ping pong, because we were supposed to do ping pong last week, too.
Yeah. I do think ping pong is a signature event, and an event that Greg Cody, I just saw the DraftKings odds. Greg Cody is actually favored
no, he's not.
To win ping pong.
That's
yes,
a lie.
Look at the DraftKings. DraftKings don't lie.
Okay. Well, everyone go make that bet on me because that's good money you're getting.
Well, you know, you're getting like plus 110 on you. I mean, it's a close, you know, it's a close odds, but I am the favorite in ping pong.
Clods.
Exactly. Hey, that kind of thing. My voice is good. That kind of thing. I'm talking about that kind of thing. I'm not done yet. Down 4-0. 6 matches left.
Your voice does sound good right now.
Thank you.
You think the Panthers can get this figured out? They're down 2-1. You think, yeah, like, this is... I think this has got 7 written all over it. Like, I'm trying not to panic too much because the Panthers and their history with losing playoff series, yeah, but I feel good that they're going to get game 4, get it back to game 5. Like, this has got going 7 written all over it.
Yeah, I hope so for the Panthers' sake because it's going to be embarrassing if they don't get past the first round with the best team in hockey during the regular season. And I thought the interim coach, Andrew Brunette, really laid into his guys after the 6-1 loss the other day. You know, I mean, he basically said, we got to work harder. They're out efforting us. Washington is. And those were pretty harsh words. You know, I mean, they were desperate words. They're like, come on, let's wake up now. Yeah. Or we're going to get our ass kicked.
Desperate words because he knows that, you know, if this season doesn't end, if this season is a first round exit, we know exactly what's being replaced, not Barkov, yes, and Hubie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got, and it's interesting to me that despite the great regular season they have, they've kept the interim tag on him and still do. And the only prayer he has of being considered for a full-time job next year is if they at least get past the first round. So the pressure is definitely on the Panthers. I'll be interested to see what the Heat do. I still think the Heat...
With Embiid back, this might be a long one, too.
No, I know.
I was out to dinner the other night, and I love this new thing wait restaurants are doing where they have your electronic bill. Like, Chili's does this. Yeah. Some restaurants do it where, you know, you can pay your tab at the table, and, like, you can do it without ever even asking for the check. But then there's also these restaurants that do, like, the middle ground where you ask for the check. You still have to ask for the check. You can't do it at the table, but they walk over with the machine and they swipe it right in front of you.
Yeah.
I don't like that as much because this is what you get into. You get into the hovering.
Yes.
When you're trying to leave a tip. And, like, you give them the card, she swipes it, and then she hands you this machine, and she awkwardly stands there. And I'm like, I'm tipping $2 more probably because of the hover. And I'm a good tipper. I'm a good tipper. Right. Like, I'm going at least 20% and usually a dollar extra. But if you're standing there hovering, I feel even obligated to do more. And it's awkward. Sometimes I'll just be like, can I have a water refill? Even though my water's half full, just so they walk away to go get me a new water. Like, just so I can feel safe about leaving my tip.
That's right. There's a lot of pressure. And now... it's, you know, the minimum now is 15%. And if you leave a 15% tip while they're there hovering, staring at you, it's as if they know immediately, wow, you really didn't like the service or you didn't like me, you know. And it's not just a restaurant. They do that same thing where I get my hair cut. And so you're staring there and staring at 15%, 20%, 25%. And if you don't leave 25%, you feel like a cheapskate while the person who just cut your hair is staring at you. You know, I don't think it's particularly fair, but it does what it does. You know, it serves its purpose, which is to increase their tip.
Yeah, this isn't you complaining still, right? I brought this topic up, so you're good. You're in the clear. This episode title could just be called Greg Complains.
Yeah, Greg griping. Greg. And I don't like to be a complainer. I really don't.
All right,
don't.
Please. I'm going to start complaining about you just being full of shit. I mean, you just complain all the time. You can't complain. Dad, we were at Mother's Day brunch, and what was it that you were complaining about? You started complaining about the most random things. It was like you were just saying things just to say them. I can't remember now what it was, but you were like, well, God.
Yeah, I make observations. That's what
Christy,
I do.
What did he complain about at brunch? That was weird. Yeah, you complained about cake being warm.
Right.
We had a delicious warm carrot cake for dessert at our Mother's Day brunch.
Yeah.
And you're like, who eats warm cake? And we're just like, it's only the most delicious thing ever.
No, I want cake to be cold, not just room temp. I want a chili cake.
I'm with you. Yeah. Most cake is served room temp or cold. But to just dismiss this delectable warm carrot cake with the frosting, oh, just...
Yeah. It's also, it seemed like too much frosting.
Here we go.
The frosting was literally dripping over the edge of the carrot cake. You know, it's too much. I want to taste the carrot cake, not the frosting.
But you don't want to complain.
Right. That's right. I'm laughing again without coughing, by the way.
I know. We're doing like, all right, let's, like, we've been documenting this whole journey, so I think we should be honest. My dad had a rough last Tuesday. He was at the Levitard show, and he was coughing, and it interrupted a few segments, and he literally left early. It was like, Greg, go home. You're struggling. Just, like, we don't want, like, we feel bad.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that was his medicine. And ever since then, there's, have you turned a corner? I know we make this joke on the Levitard show about athletes taking a step, turning a corner. Like, what have you done here if we're using a sports cliche?
I mean, I'm almost afraid to.
Are you over the hill? Are you over the hill in this sickness?
I'm literally over the hill. No, I hate to jinx myself, but it's I've just been much, much better ever since Tuesday. And
can you do Eisner? You did Eisner at brunch this morning.
Eisner.
Yeah, that's as high as you've been able to get with your voice in months. This is encouraging.
It's crazy, right? And I've barely been coughing. Now, when I cough once a day and just clear my throat, it's like, wow. When was the last time I did that?
This is exciting. So that's good news for the audience. I feel like the audience will like that.
And by the way, speaking of the audience liking something, I want to really thank you all for the response, the early response to the new merch store of ours. Yes. I mean,
We have been blown away by the amount of people that have.
It's crazy, yeah. Right? And it's only going to get bigger and better in the sense that. Right now, the only thing on the merch store is logo merchandise.
Right.
And
we're adding stuff. Within the next month or so, we're going to be adding Nelly's Diner. We're going to have You Never Know or that. No, that kind of thing. One of those two. We're working that on those type of thing. Yeah. We're working on we want a Lobo's Mint shirt. So we're going to have a lot of cool stuff right now until the 15th through May 15th. Everything's 15% off at shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Next week, I believe there will be free shipping. So make sure.
Holy ship.
Keep your ears open for that. And, you know, we're blown away by that. It's only going to get better and it's only going to get funnier. We're going to have a lot of random items. So we're blown away by that. Check out that website, thegregcodyshow.com, shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Keep supporting us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do. Thank you so much for listening as well. And I guess we're putting a bow on this one. Is that right?
We are putting a bow, even though, like we've talked before, I don't need a bow on my gift. Just
I know.
Wrap it. The bow's going right in the garbage anyway. It's a waste of money. Just wrap the gift. Let's just wrap the gift. Let's just wrap up the show as opposed to put a bow on it.
All right. We're wrapping it in ribbon, though, in colorful ribbon. Thank you all. Blah, blah, blah.
Let's just put this in a bag and put some tissue paper over it, in fact.
Okay. Why bother with the tissue paper?
Take the easy way.
Let's just put a gift in a brown paper sack and hand it to somebody.
Okay.
How about that?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. See you next week.
Dad, sing a little song for all the moms out there as we celebrate.
Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day, dear beautiful moms and madres. Happy Mom's Day to you. Boom, boom.
I do mean
you.